141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a huge weekend across Scottish football. Russell Martin remains Rangers manager despite loud calls for him to lose his job. Celtic see protests before moving on to win right at the death in controversial circumstances. There was a big win for St Mirren. Aberdeen's woes continue and big refereeing decisions all across the board. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you've David Friel from the Scottish Sun and Andy Halliday. Did you enjoy your weekend?
I didn't one bit. And I tell you what, I may as well start pre-recording my opening segment here, because I'm saying the same things week in, week out. But finally, well, I say finally, I've been probably the most in Scotland praising Scottish officials this year. Finally, we've got a wee bit of drama to debate as well.
Good. But other than that, same old story. Rangers are letting you down. Motherwell are never going to win or lose a game ever again.
Rangers below par, poor result. Motherwell play class, but can he win? Celtic win with a lot of drama.
There you go. And David Friel, I can't believe Roger Hanna's done this to you, right? So Roger Hanna, usually here on a Monday, you're one of his lieutenants at the Scottish Sun. He disappears on holiday, puts you in the hot seat on a nice quiet night.
I was going to say that, Gordon. I think after the chaos of last week, I naively thought the return of the football was going to bring some calm. No. All it brought was more chaos. Looking forward to it, as Andy said, loads of talking points. Not all good.
Go easy on David Friel, will you? We'll ease him in. Make sure we can get him back. Anyway, Andy Halliday's here. He's been through it all before. Give us a call, 01419511025. How many talking points do you want? If we start Saturday and work our way through the weekend, Andy Halliday will tell us, because he knows certainly more than I do, but I was there, I was at Ibrox. Not sure it gets any more toxic, poisonous, whatever you want, for a manager than that. Huge calls, loud calls for him to lose his job. He said he won't walk away. He believes he's still got the backing. It then transpires over the weekend, he does indeed, that the Rangers board do continue to back him. He's taken the team wild water swimming and hill walking today as a team bonding exercise to try and get over it. So where do you sit today, Rangers fans? I feel like I've asked this about five times already this season. Can he survive it? How does he survive it? Where does it go from here? How are you feeling? Etc, etc. Now clearly within that game there was a lot of talking points as well. Three big refereeing decisions: Lauren Shanklin's goal, Rangers disallowed goal, the penalty towards the end. So it's standard Monday night fare usually for us to debate them. You can give us a call and let us know. Speaking of refereeing decisions, it obviously ended in dramatic circumstances at Rugby Park with the handball. And yet that wasn't the only story there either, because there was protests, banners, chants against the board, but Celtic do win on the pitch. So again, Celtic fans, where are you sitting tonight? Kilmarnock fans, I'm sure you'll feel perhaps aggrieved at the ending to that one. Any Aberdeen fans care to get in touch? Bottom of the table in the middle of September. Motherwell fans, if you want to quiz Andy Halliday on whether it is deliberate or not, he's going to draw every game, 38 points, try and stay in the league. It doesn't seem like the best strategy, but that does look like what's happening at the moment. So give us a call. Loads happening. 01419511025. These two will whet the appetite. David Friel, your result of the weekend, please.
I think it's pretty straightforward for me. Gordon, Hearts. I was at the game covering it for Radio Clyde and Scottish Sun. I thought Hearts were outstanding to a man. Some great individual performances, but a great game plan from Derek McInnes. Great performance, thoroughly deserving of their 2-0 win. And a statement win for Hearts as well, top of the league.
First win in 14 years at Ibrox. Can't grumble with that, Andy. What would you have gone for?
I'd have probably went Hearts if David never nabbed in there first. So I'm going to go for St Mirren. First league win of the season. St Mirren notoriously started campaign slow over the last few years and finished strongly, getting top six over the last three seasons. And I think it was of vital importance that they got off the mark at the weekend. They did so. And that nice producer, John, so we'll add that in there as well.
But you were just telling us how delighted you were at Ibrox. I mean, it's your old team, Hearts, obviously. Oh, I'm delighted to see them do so well.
Delighted for me.
Yeah, okay. Goal of the weekend, what are we going for?
I don't think there was a great selection this week, Gordon, but I'm not just saying it because I'm sitting next to a Motherwell player and a Motherwell fan, but I liked Tawanda Mass when he sees goal. I thought took it very well, drove into the box. It was the second touch, just that touch, almost daring the defender to bring him down, and a great low finish. So I think that was a pick of the bunch for me.
Seven goals in all competitions.
He's on fire.
Doing not badly. What are you going for?
Well, I'm going down to the lower leagues.
Oh, connoisseur.
And I tell you what a goal we've got. You go all the way to Elgin City and you go and watch Kane Hester's free kick. For anyone that's not seen it, please, after the show's finished, because you obviously have to tune in for the next 2 hours, get on your phone, YouTube the Elgin City free kick of the weekend, Kane Hester. The movement he gets on that ball, that is a such a difficult technique, something I certainly don't have under my belt anyway.
Two things: if he's gone for a lower league and he's gone for a strike rather than a team goal, it tells you how good it must be, so fair enough. Alright, what about your howler then of the weekend?
I am going to go Gordon for Aberdeen. I know we'll talk a lot about Rangers tonight, but I think Aberdeen's Premiership form and just their form in general must be really, really alarming. What is that, 5 wins still in the last 31? They're bottom of the league, they've not scored a goal in 4 games, they've got a huge game now against Motherwell in the Premier Sports quarter final this weekend. I think there must be massive pressure on Jimmy Tilley. He needs to start getting results.
Don't ask me anything about Aberdeen tonight. We've got a double header coming up against Aberdeen. I'm saying nothing about it. Yep.
How level of the weekend for you?
Well, listen, it was a bit tongue in cheek, but I think you'll agree, we've been talking over the last five, six weeks how well the Scottish officials in this league have started. I thought they had a really, really poor weekend, and we'll get to the big talking points over the 2 games in Glasgow, but I think across the board, I thought they got 6 or 7 big talking points. If I'm me, I thought they got the majority, if not all of them, wrong.
Well, do you agree or disagree? Let us know. 01419511025. And finally, Tender, on a more positive note, who was your top man, your top performer?
Yeah, I'll go back to Ibrox again. Gordon, Lawrence Shanklin, Derek McInnes called it a masterclass in leading the line. He took his first goal really well. He stayed calm after his penalty was saved. I think he was given a glimpse of Rangers of what they could have had had they gone from as a free agent during the summer. I thought he was outstanding. Start to finish, Lawrence Shanklin's my top performer.
Derek McInnes says it was a masterclass for his striker. I'm giving Derek McInnes the masterclass in the performance of the weekend. For me, that was a proper way of how to set up your team. And we talk about individual battles on the pitch and where games can be won. I thought between the 2 dugouts, I thought Derek McInnes' game plan was absolutely spot on, and my performance of the weekend goes to him.
And even stuck up for Russell Martin in the press conference as well. Thought he spoke quite well on that front. Not necessarily that the Rangers fans will agree with the sentiment, but there we are. 0141 951 1025. Frank is on the line. Frank, it's another Monday where I'm wondering how the Rangers fans see this going after the weekend. What do you think?
Well, it could be pretty dangerous because the board have said they're not going to sack this guy. And if they're adamant about it, he stays where he is, and they would let the crowds go down because I think they've got an abundance of money. But they made the mistake. They put the guy in place. Somebody's got to be man enough to stand up and say, it's no working. Now, I listened to Russell Martin after the game when he says he didn't want me here in the first place. He's dejected. He doesn't know what to do next. The players are not responding to him. He needs to go. It's as simple as that.
I mean, Andy, we've had this conversation before. I don't know. I don't know how many times we've got left. There's nothing to suggest that officially we're running out of these conversations because, as Frank said, the Rangers board are going to continue for now to back Russell Martin. How would you sum it all up?
Again, I mean, we're now 12 games into Russell Martin's tenure, and not only again, like we've said in previous weeks, that the results are not good enough, the results have been poor. I think the performance levels are so alarming. And again, at the weekend, I always watch the games back on a Sunday, so when we come here and we discuss that, I know that I've watched. The first half, Rangers couldn't get their half. Like, it could not get out their half. It was such a comfortable 45 minutes for Hearts. And then there was a slight increase in, I would say, purpose and enthusiasm in the second half, but nowhere near enough. Honestly, Gordon, I've never bought into the, you know, last year it was Aberdeen won 11 straight games and it was, can they split the old firm this year? I now think you are looking at, can Rangers finish outside the top 2? Can Hearts maintain their league form? Can Hibs pick it back up and show the form that it showed towards the tail end of last season? Because in terms of performance levels as well as the results, I'm just not seeing any signs of improvement at all.
David, you were there, I was there. Do you come back from an atmosphere like that? Can you come back from an atmosphere like that?
I don't think you can, Gordon. I fully expected Saturday night or Sunday morning a statement from Rangers.
Really? Did you?
100% I did. I mean, as we spoke about it in the show on Saturday, I was one of the ones a couple of weeks ago before the Celtic game where I felt it was too early. I felt Russell Martin had to get the full transfer window. He had to get a few things sorted out and then you could judge him. But the atmosphere and the toxicity, whatever you want to call it, inside the stadium was more than anything I've ever experienced in my life. I mean, I'm not as old as Roger Hanna and Hugh Keevans, but we've seen a lot of managers off the premises over the years. We've seen a lot of managers get hounded out by fans. That was on another level to anything. And I just felt at that stage that Russell Martin, there was just nowhere for him to go. It was untenable. But then yesterday it emerges that Andrew Kavanagh is fully behind him. And maybe that's because he's detached. Maybe it's because he wasn't in the stadium to see it. But as Andy said, there's no redeeming features about a Rangers team. If you could see something, if you could see signs of progress, signs of style, then maybe you'd say, yes, stick with them. But Rangers aren't getting any better. In fact, they're getting worse.
Frank, do you think there is anything in that? Because you're talking about these are the people who hired Russell Martin. They, up to this point, aren't really getting the criticism. The players don't really seem to be getting the criticism. It is all on the manager. Do you think there's something in the fact that Andrew Kavanagh isn't here and isn't in the stadium? Because, as David mentions, that was so poisonous at the weekend.
Well, the way I looked at it is this. They've hired a coach, not a football manager, because a more experienced manager would pull a player aside and say to him, you're not doing it. Start getting yourself together and go out in that park and prove yourself. These players, 1-11, are making mistake after mistake. There's no structure in the team. There's no determination in the team. There's one Scot in the team. Maybe that's what the problem is. Now, they had the chance to buy Shankland. He knows how to score goals in Scotland. That's a start. No. What do? They buy foreigners who haven't, to be fair to the new guys, they haven't really had a chance. But Shankland knows his way to go in Scotland, and you first have to win in Scotland before you even can attempt to improve in Europe. They haven't even worked that one out. Raskin, they're trying to sicken the guy out the door so that they can get the money in at Christmas, so they can reinvest. Now, from what I've seen for the signings, there are some good boys there, but there isn't a manager there to actually get it into them. That what's needed at Ibrox is determination and pride, and there's not one player in that park, maybe apart from John Souter now and again, who actually give you 90 minutes. They go hiding, these players. And that you're wondering why the punters are raging, because they see it week after week. And the success rate of the manager at his previous clubs is 30% win rate. Now, what board of directors at Rangers would pick a manager with that success rate previously?
I think you maybe overstate that stuff, because naturally trying to win games with Southampton in the English Premier League is going to lower your win percentage. However, that's just a small point. Andy, you know the demands at Ibrox. You played in some pretty challenging times, if I remember rightly. I know you weren't there clearly, but your family, friends who were, you've watched it back. Is that as bad as you've sort of seen it towards a manager?
Well,
he's even close.
If you shut your eyes and you listen to telling, you just hear the noise, you're assuming it's 50,000 people chanting at the start of a game. The fact that the attendance was actually that low at the end of the game, and you hear the boos and you hear the chants that obviously everybody's heard, it was quite incredible how loud it actually was. And listen, I don't know how old Frank is, there'll be loads of Rangers fans listening that are older than I am. I've never seen anyone, player or manager, win the fans over when it's been that toxic towards an individual.
Is that too much then? Is there a case that's too far? That, like, I've always really conscious in this show, really try and never tell fans sort of how to feel or how to express themselves within reason. They pay their money, but, you know, it's still a human standing there. Is it a bit much, do you think, that he's taken it all?
Listen, Rangers fans won't think so, but it's really hard from a professional standpoint not to feel sorry for Russell Martin. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but if you put it into context, there was so much optimism for Rangers fans going into this season with a new takeover, finally getting a big budget to spend, to bring in players, to get rid of Deadwood. You're actually questioning on the 15th of September if the league's over. So when you put it into context, this is probably the best part of 2 decades worth of frustration towards the football club in general. And like you say, like I already said, there's no sign of it changing yet. There's not been that one game, that one performance that can actually show that they've got something going forward. So I think it's just been all amounting to, and listen, we all know, it's actually an appointment that Rangers fans didn't really want in the first place. He was already up against it at the start, but obviously over the accumulation of the 12 games, there's just not been any signs there.
Okay, let's thank Frank for his time and bring in Mark. How would you
guys
sum it
evening.
Up now, Mark?
First of all, guys, I did email the show, your regular caller, Big Jeff Miller from Giffrick. Been phoning the show for 30 years, unfortunately passed away last Thursday.
Do you know what, Mark? I actually heard that when I was coming in earlier, and I'm kind of glad you mentioned it, in a sense, if that's the right word, because you're right to pass on your wishes. Phoned all the time, probably one of the most dedicated listeners and callers we had, so yep, thanks for bringing
Sanderson,
that up.
Sanderson was on the show, is it Sanderson? The guy, was it Jimmy Sanderson, yep, I think, right, back yep. in the day? Anyway, so that's the most important thing. Rangers, it's an absolute shambles. Was there at the weekend. The guy hasn't got a clue, and he's got to go. And the board really now are being judged. Right now, they're going to be judged over the next few days and the next week. It doesn't matter if we beat Hibs 11-0, which, by the way, there's no chance of even beating Hibs. But somebody said, I don't know if it was Andy or the other guy, said it's not personal. Well, now it is personal, because everything he's saying is actually very offensive to the media. I find him, the fans, we can't even watch his press conferences. He's rude to the support. He's arrogant. We've looked back at Southampton and Wolves' press conferences. They're identical. Talking a lot of rubbish. He's actually coming across as not a nice guy now. I'm just saying it as it is. I've never attacked a Rangers manager personally, but he's coming across as very rude, very offensive, the way he's dealing with things. His back's up against the wall, I get it. His tactics, he's not got any... this is the worst Rangers manager in our history. This is actually horrendous. It's much worse than Pedro Coutinho. It's much worse than Paul Le Guin. It's a disaster. And these new American owners, they've put in a fortune. They've backed him. They have backed him. However, they've got to get rid of him now. I just hope, I know obviously the press have come out yesterday and says they back him, they're not getting rid of him just now. I don't believe that for a second. I believe they've not got rid of him right now, but they must be talking. They know what's going on, the Americans and Parag at Leeds. So they've got to be. I would be absolutely flabbergasted if they now don't have a plan B, if they're talking to a Gerrard, if they're talking to somebody. They've got to be. They're not stupid people. These guys have put in millions. They're not daft. So I'm positive he'll be away within a week.
It really doesn't look like it, Mark. I mean, do you not think there's a chance that they are?
No,
you become quite kind of determined to see through your own ideas, and ultimately, again, whether it's Andrew Kavanagh, Parag Maritain, you know, not here, maybe not quite absorbing the level of negativity.
Well, what will have to happen is the fans will need to scream outside the stadium and not go into the games, and they'll be total anarchy. Because as the appointment, listen, every club in world football will appoint a bad manager at one point. They just need to put their hands up. The manager, sadly, no, half the fans didn't want him. But you know what? He had a chance to win everybody over. But the tactics, the way he's dealt with many players, his attitude to the support, his press conferences, every single one of these things, he's now coming across as offensive to the support, as rude, as ignorant, and I can't even watch the amount of, we can't even watch his press conferences. The vitriol towards him now is horrendous, and really, they've got to get rid of him. And the other thing is, the director of football is now also in the firing line with the support, because he, yes, has spent loads of money, but right now it looks like with his media duties a week ago, when he came out and backed the manager and talking about, you know, it's going to take time. He actually listened. I listened to Jamie O'Hara on Talk Sport yesterday. They're on after you, is the only reason I listened to them. He was actually saying he was at, I think it was either Wolves or Wigan, whatever team that Telwall was in charge of as a director of football. And he was actually saying the stories. He was shocking at that club. And I know people at Everton that said he was shocking. So how have these guys got jobs in the Rangers boards? So honestly, the owners are here this weekend. The fans outside the ground will need to, honestly, there's going to be total anarchy, verbally, nothing else. I wouldn't promote anything else verbal. But the guy is not fit to be Rangers manager. It appears this director of football is not fit to be director of football. The signings now, there could be loads of potential with these guys, but not with this team running the club. Having them up in Loch Lomond today. Come on, this reminds me of the day Hugh Keevans was in a pub when Celtic had a press conference in a pub with Kenny Dalglish. It's almost...
Is that when he got chucked out? Nah, that sounds like a good memory to me. I wish I'd been there. Andy, I can't believe I'm asking this question. Should Rangers have been swimming in Loch Lomond and up Connick Hill today? Scottish football never disappoints.
I know that's...
Right, what are you thinking?
Listen, I'm not on social media, as you know, but I'd love to see the chat going around following the pictures and the scenes at Connick Hill.
Someone has sent me a picture of Russell Martin with the photoshopped snorkel and goggles on, if that gives you an idea.
When I was having a chat with friends today, it actually says it must be so hard for a manager to go again on a Monday when it's been 12 weeks of poor results and poor performances and the full of a full football club on your back, and actually question like, what does he do going in today? I didn't think it was going to be Connacht Kill.
It's a nice part of the world.
But listen, I've been part of football clubs that I make a joke about it now. When your team's in disarray, you go paintballing on a Monday. I've seen it so many times. I've been on 3 paintballing trips and it's been off the back of horrendous performances and results. So I think it's difficult. It seems to me as if he's just trying anything. He's just trying to find some sort of way to bring the group together. For me personally, I've never been a fan of it. I mean, I always think your best way to get back on the saddle, if you wish, is go back onto the training pitch and try and right the wrong. So, and I certainly don't think it's going to appease Rangers fans.
And that's the problem, David. I don't know whether to treat this sincerely or not. At any other time, as Andy says, team bonding exercises have been on since the dawn of time. I think you're more than entitled to shrug your shoulders and say, who cares, move on. Similarly, Rangers can't do anything right at the moment, and some fans will see them traipsing up Connacht Hill today and just think, this can't get any worse. I don't know, does it really matter?
It probably doesn't, but it's that word I don't like, optics. But yeah, it doesn't look good. I think Russell Martin, as Andy's seen, he's just trying something different. And he's got a lot of new players. He's trying to gel them all together. I mean, transfer window shut, a lot of them went away on international duty. He's obviously trying to get them bonded in some way. The days of going to the pub are over. It's now something else. I don't know, you're going to Loman Swim then up Connacht Hill. I don't think it does any harm. It just looks a bit gimmicky.
You know, I like a challenge on this show. Can we throw it out there to see if anybody was on Connacht Hill at the time? Any eyewitnesses?
Give us a live photo. Well, two things. Number one, it'll be some laugh if there's 3-4 players out with a cold this weekend after the cold water dip.
Or a rolled ankle coming down in Connacht Hill.
Number two, I don't think it's great timing when he says to the fans, you don't see us during the week. Insinuating that his team's brilliant in training and they're expecting to see it in games soon. But now they have seen them during the week and it's up Connacht Hill.
Just when we thought the story didn't need any more, I don't know if we need to dwell on the outdoor activities part of it, but keep the calls coming if you want to move on. There's so many talking points at the weekend. Let's get stuck in. It's up to you. Let us know. We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and David Friel is alongside him. Roger Hanna's drafted. I think he drafted in his own substitute. Does he give you all his work at the newspaper
all
when he goes
work
away?
Every single
typical
bit of his work.
Honestly, yeah. Where is he?
He's in a mysterious location.
What do you mean?
I don't know. He's in the Canary Islands somewhere, I think.
Right, that's it. Do you want, is it Andy, is it just me? Do you want to find out a bit more about that?
I do. And I'd love to know if he's listening.
Is it like a themed?
He told me he was going to be listening.
Is it a themed hotel or something?
I don't know.
Like adults only.
I'm sure it's Canary somewhere, but
Mrs. Hannah will be happy at this.
I know.
I've said it before, he's some amount of holidays, him.
Mm-hmm. I can just imagine him sitting by the pool, Tony Orlando on, in the headphones.
Yep.
But anyway,
shades on.
Hope he's got the factor
wild swimming
50 on. Well, maybe. Hill walking, it's all the rage. Let's bring in Derek on the line. Hi, Derek.
Evening, guys. How we doing?
Not bad, Derek. I'm more interested in how you're doing after the weekend.
A couple of folk during the weekend had phoned to say they were shocked or that the performance was shocking, but was it shocking? Did MD really... Is it a shock that Hearts beat Rangers at home? Like, is the performance a shock? It wasn't for me. What was a shock for me more than the performance was the comments Russell Martin made after the game. I mean, I go with my brother, my mate and my cousin, and I don't think we'll be back until he's gone. The atmosphere at the weekend, people have touched on already. Rangers fans singing with Hearts fans sacked in the morning. Russell Martin get to whatever, like quite early on after that goal. That was, I just don't see what's changing. Like, as Andy Halliday said a few weeks ago, that, or maybe longer than that, that when Russell Martin got appointed, I was quite keen on him. I thought like the style of football was a way to beat a low block. The way he spoke, the press, especially at the Swansea and Southampton, that style of football could have worked, but it's just not there. And nothing is changing. Like I was for, Hugh even just said during the week that there's not a Rangers fan who wants Martin to stay. I did, but purely for the reason that we need the consistency. Having
until when, Derek? What was your tip? Was that your tipping point in the weekend or before that?
The tipping point was he brings in Ant-Man the day after he signed him, but then won't drop the Njiga Centre for Cornelius. So I know he travelled, whatever, but it's like, how many times is he going to watch a defender, a striker run off him? I mean, Andy's played with Lorne Shankland. He's a good striker, but he's not quick. But Lorne Shankland got the ball inside his own half, to played a 1-2 with Braga, and then was on that ball. How are they letting him run off? Suter should have closed him down a wee bit, in my opinion, Braga, when he played that pass. But he just watches Lorne Shankland and he just jogs back. How many times is that going to happen? I get his hands are tied by players, but he is his player. Cornelius is his player. It's like, how is he happy to bring in? Maybe it's a defender compared to an attacker, but it's just, he doesn't make these changes. And someone called at the weekend, and sorry, the fan media guy at the weekend said to him, the players look scared, the players look as if they're afraid to make mistakes. And he was very adamant that you've called it right, it's not the tactics, we're great in training. But see, at the end of the day, like, if these guys are making mistakes time and time again, and you're asking them to do that, and they're scared to do it, or they're not doing it, why are you asking them to do it again? Like, where does the point come where you say, right, do you know what, enough's enough, we need to change it, because it's going to cost him his job. It's just arrogance.
That's a good call from Derek, because there's a lot of want to kind of try and dig into here a bit deeper than just Russell Martin is rubbish and he must leave, which, you know, can obviously get a bit unfair. The stuff about the players are playing this way because they're anxious, so the crowd are making them anxious, right? But the crowd now is not going to change its mind. So how do you break that cycle? So if they can't get results while they're anxious, how does this ever end?
Well, I think you try and give them something to work with by starting games fast, something that Rangers haven't done for 3 years. It's been a struggle for Rangers for the last 2-3 seasons where they start games slow. But remember,
it's not
the stat,
Martin's fault then.
Listen, we remember the stat for last year under Barry Ferguson, how many times they went 2-0 down in games, and then, to be fair, often got a reaction. But I wholeheartedly disagree that it's all down to fear and it's the tactics side of it's fine. I disagree. I think a lot of the anxiousness comes from the lack of options to actually play forward. So players then stay on the ball for probably longer than anticipated, and then what comes after that? The groans for the fans, because it's then that tempo that we're talking about, that slow tempo, that passive tempo, and I don't think they're anywhere near progressive enough.
But he says they're brilliant in training, so what's the difference?
Rangers fans don't pay to watch Rangers in training. They don't watch Rangers in training. They want to see them win leagues and cups and everything that Russell Martin says he wants his team to be. So I think, listen, he knows as well as anyone what that comment was going to do to the fans. It's never going to appease them. And I mean, I generally got, if watching Rangers again at the weekend, it's, for me, it looked so easy for a Hearts team to play against, because everything was in front of Hearts' shape. They could just slide, they could press vertically. Not one person tried to run in behind, not one person tried to play in behind, and it was just so passive. And then that's us just talking about in possession. I mean, out, but the first goal, Rangers pushed straight pass into the midfield and Hearts win the ball back 20 yards for goal. Within two passes, they score.
Is it a handball?
Two passes? Well, it's a handball.
Because it might tell you the Rangers story is so big here that we're not really arguing about the refereeing decisions yet.
And I think that's a valid point, because if Rangers got the decision they got at the weekend, what would we expect on the Monday morning? Rangers fans calling up and it being three major decisions for me went against them.
Wrong.
I think all three are wrong, but I'm certainly not offended with the Diamandé penalty, because I've seen three or four replays and I can't conclusively tell you that he's not made contact, given that Steve McLean gave the penalty.
Right, okay.
So if Steve McLean doesn't give the penalty, there's no way it's getting overturned. Listen, I don't think it is a penalty, but from the replays that I've seen, I don't think it's conclusive enough. The first two for me, I mean, you only have to look at Lauren Shanklin's, obviously not his press conference, because the VAR couldn't be able to use that, but look at his celebrations. He turns around and actually tells his teammates, I've handballed it. But I mean, the second one, I've had a bugbear of goalies.
Goalies.
You remember Motherwell against goalies. Rangers last year with Jack Butland?
I remember.
I've had a bugbear with these challenges forever, but it's just getting worse and worse. How that can be deemed as a foul is honestly laughable.
What were you all three? Because like I say, on another night, we maybe just argue about these for the rest of the night. There's just so much going on, but I don't want to neglect it either, so...
I'll start with the goalkeepers first. I totally agree with Andy. They're a protected species, they get away with murder.
So you thought that goal should have stood? Because is it Asgard? There is a Rangers player who takes a look, puts a hand on the chest. I'm not saying it's enough, I'm just kind of describing what
Asgard does do that. And I think John Souter then jumps in. I think it's soft, but as Andy's saying, goalkeepers, you go anywhere near them, you're going to get a
and
foul.
And then again,
you.
If that's given on the field, could it be? Do you think there's enough to then overturn that?
Probably not. But I think Hearts were very lucky in that sense. It's clearly a handball. In terms of the penalty, similar to Andy in the sense that going at full speed, it's hard to see huge contact, but there's maybe enough, and again, it's not going to go overturned.
And then that's the problem with VAR, isn't it? Because you're going, it becomes more than just, is it right? And then about, if it's given, is there enough to overturn it?
Which is another bugbear. I mean, I wish they'd get rid of that as well.
In fairness to Russell Martin, he could have, but I think he knew that. You can tell by the calls tonight, yes, it's annoying, yes, there's a conversation to be had, but Rangers' problems run a whole lot deeper than that, clearly, don't they? I'm just looking at the clock, let's squeeze one more in. We'll thank Derek, who made some really good points, I think. What about Graham on the other line? Graham?
All right, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I was just saying to the boy there, there'll be no booing and there'll be no anxious crowd, because there'll be no crowd there, mate. I don't know how empty it's gone.
The Hibs game?
They're just sick of it, and he's how he's still there, I don't know. But there's no need to worry about booing and anxious football players because there'll be nobody there to watch them. They're just sick of it.
Maybe they'll win comfortably then.
Yeah, maybe there'll be no anxiousness there then. Well, it's because we spoke on it earlier, Graham, the fact that in my time watching Rangers and maybe other fans will agree or disagree, I've never seen this level of toxicity or even close and won over the fans within the coming months. And, you know, Andrew Kavanagh and the 49ers, listen, they've made their stance, they're sticking with us, and that's fine. I think where they'll get a real shock is when they see the financial package after the attendance at the Hibs game and then when they're selling Europa League packages. Because I thought this was bound to come, where there's not going to be as many bums on seats and they're not at the games to maybe see the toxicity, to see the atmosphere, but they'll watch it in telly, and when they see an attendance of 25,000, 30,000 against Hibs, or potentially 35,000, 40,000 against Europa League, well, that might be what sort of catches their attention.
But then, only if that actually happens, David, well, I'm sure we'll get on to Celtic in a bit, but, you know, we heard this about Celtic as well, where, you know, the Europa League packages, but maybe they will just be bought. Maybe it's just fans who want to go to games, see an opportunity, don't have a season ticket, want to take advantage. I think the game at the weekend is interesting, because that won't be in the season ticket, I assume. It is a cup game. Might there be a kind of visual piece of evidence for the ownership group?
I think there will. It's obviously a later kickoff as well, which is always going to play into it too. But yeah, that is going to be the test in terms of how strong the level of feeling is within the Rangers fans. Gordon, as you say, most, your average Rangers fan just wants to go and see his team. However, if they feel that there's no other way to show Andrew Kavanagh and the 49ers that the level of feeling is so big against Russell Martin, then maybe they do have to just start voting with their feet. To get back to some of the points in terms of Russell Martin's comments as well, the guys have brought up, I thought his stuff about the players being scared was unbelievable. It kind of got lost in the melee of all the I won't quit and everything, but if players are scared playing for Rangers, you need personality to play for Rangers. It is an unforgiving environment, Gordon, but that comes down to recruitment. Have you recruited the right players? Do they have the right personality?
Oh, do you know who else has got personality? Nico Raskin. He's sitting watching it. So again, surely this has, and listen, it may still, but this has to get addressed sooner rather than later, because the fact of the matter is, he's Rangers' best player, he's your most sellable asset. If he was going to go in the transfer deadline day, which by all accounts looked as it could have possibly happened, Rangers are probably rating in, what, £15 million, give or take? You're now prized asset sitting watching that at the weekend. Now, he is somebody that's got personality. He is somebody that wants to make an impact in the game, and he's infectious with his energy and his drive within the game. That has to get resolved sooner rather than later. When I say sooner rather than later, it's next weekend against Hibs.
Here's a quick one for you, which was an eye-opener for me. So someone was telling me, at a very high level of club, not in Scotland, I won't name who or the club, but there is now such a thing as an AI app for recruiting that does claim to be able to measure character. It assesses things players say in interviews, the way they respond to going goals down, etc, etc.
Need so a list. Go. Need
Can
a
you
list.
Imagine Hugh Keevan's looking at his Nokia, like just bashing it just to see. But apparently, generally,
is that right? Yeah. That would be brilliant.
Anyway, well, Graham, look, the stories are that the board are going to back this guy. So do you think fans not going against Hibs or not taking up Europa League packages changes that?
Well, if it's affecting the money, then surely it should. I know I'm saying we're not going, but we bought our tickets for the Hibs game, we've paid for the package. But I'm just not going to go. Four of us, we bought tickets, we're not going. And everybody was sitting around and said, "Certainly, like that." So we'll see you next week. We went, "No, no chance, mate. Then we'll come to us. Guys travel fell over, and all." So it'll be very sparse, mate. And you see that, no one belong getting rid of them in the pockets.
Well, we will see. Thank you very much to Graham on the line. It's a good time to call. We'll pause for breath. 01419511025. I can just still see wall-to-wall Rangers fans angry. If you want to move on to something else, please do. I've done this long enough. It's bound to be one of these nights where you say, "Why are you not mentioning X, Y or Z?" Please feel free to just call in. It's impossible to give all of the topics from this weekend the time that they probably deserve. So just give us a call if there's something you want to hear. Please do it right now whilst I tell you about this. Clyde One. Make me a winner. £500,000 up for grabs. In fact, way more than that. It's a shame on me for describing it as half a million. £553,000. You can get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 5 entries, text YES to 61025. Those texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03-434-269-340. Calls charged at a standard rate as well, and it is of course over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close 5pm on Friday, so text YES to 61025. Good luck.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel of the Scottish Sun, and in about 5 seconds, when he returns from the water cooler, thank you very much, it's Andy Halliday who is back with us. That only makes sense if you're watching on the live stream. If you're listening on the radio, just forget the last 10 seconds ever happened, because he's now back in
his
chair.
That was 2 minutes.
I looked at you 2.5 minutes.
Can't you're believe
just
it.
Slower than people thought, and that's saying something.
Well, apologies, guys. Anyway. Am I sitting? This is a way to Blair Drummond, or?
What a great day out that, to be fair. You've got that to look forward to. Honestly, hard to beat. Yeah. Oh, you've got that to look forward to. Let's switch focus for a bit. I can honestly, so many Rangers fans still trying to get through, and we can revisit whatever, but there's so many discussion points. Simon is a Kelly fan, and I just know what you must be on about, Simon. Take it away.
Hi, guys. Hope you're all doing well.
Good.
I'm still absolutely furious from yesterday. Listen, I don't care what, you know, justification or twist in the words that the SFA are going to use to try and gaslight us on to thinking that that should have been a penalty. As far as I'm aware, VAR should only get involved for clear and obvious errors. Now, for me, there's three things that stop that from being a clear and obvious error. First of all, the deflection off a teammate, which I'm led to believe we were all, or the managers, players and staff were all told before the season probably wouldn't be a penalty these days. The distance, the proximity, is probably less than a yard. And the fact that the ball's not going goal-bound, it's going out of play for a corner. So I think those three things should have immediately stopped it from being a clear and obvious error and VAR getting involved. Now, understand the things VAR is allowed to get involved in and VAR's not allowed to get involved in. But in the lead-up to that first Celtic goal, the ball clearly hit off Celtic's new winger and should have been a Kilmarnock throw-in. Now, understand Kelly should have defended that better. But that is a clear and obvious error. I know VAR can't get involved by the current rules, but that led to a goal. Then the penalty decision, the ball clearly, David Watson wins the throw-in. It should have been a Kilmarnock throw-in. For me, that's probably still in the attacking phase of play with the timing, and that goes up for the that goes up to end up being a penalty. And the first one is particularly frustrating because sitting in the East Stand where I sit, when that throw-in was about to be taken, John Beaton put his whistle to his mouth, put his hand halfway up as if he was going to stop the play, and then just allowed it to go. The linesman had his flag in the air, pointed for the Celtic throw-in, and then kind of hesitated and almost looked like he was putting it back. Now, that is just amateurish. You know, I know referees are going to make mistakes, but I feel there's no consistency. I feel that's amateurish behaviour, amateurish refereeing, and it's just, any other time in the game, I can understand you could say, oh, anyone could score, or there could be anything. The time that happened, that penalty decision happened in the game, I have no doubt cost us a point, and it would have been a huge point for us. Yeah, I'm absolutely furious.
I think in the first point, like, I know gaslighting is a very sort of in vogue word. I think in fairness, over the last year, there have been numerous times where, whether it's via the KMI panel or Willie Collum or whatever, that they have admitted time and time again when they've got a decision wrong. So I don't think anyone's gaslighting anyone into thinking decisions are right. I think there have been, like I say, so much evidence that proves that to be completely false. However, that doesn't take away from Simon's frustration, and I think all Kelly fans would feel the same. The throw-in one is so annoying because, look, the world over, VAR can't get involved, and then as annoying as it is, I don't really know what you do about that, but the penalty's clearly the one because there's a process there is a procedure there. Andy alluded to it at the start. What was your take on it?
I don't think, well, I understand the SFA's explanation of why it was a penalty, but I don't necessarily agree with it. Mm. I think it's so harsh, Gordon, and I get that if there's a deflection, it always doesn't negate the handball, and obviously Robbie Dees deflects it right up onto Lewis Mayo, but to me that's not a penalty kick. I just don't see how it's a penalty kick, and I think if John Beaton had gone over and said, not for me, I don't think you'd have too many complaints, to be perfectly honest with you. I just don't like penalties being given for that sort of incident. Whether the SFA believe it's well within the rules, maybe, but I just think it's very harsh.
I think that's maybe the key here, Andy, because you can always make a case when the rules are what they are, and like there's an arm and it's outstretched and it hits his arm and it's in the penalty box, so it's, there's always going to be a hint of a justification for it. But so I don't think the problem here is the law as such. I don't think the problem is the fact that apparently people were told that a deflection off a teammate means no penalty, because that was never categoric. I got the same briefing that everybody else got. You know, it was never like it is a blanket no penalty if it deflects off a teammate. So again, I think that's maybe a bit of a red herring. For me, the biggest issue is, if you're going to talk about raising the bar of intervention, if you're going to talk about trying to get to a football understanding, David's probably hit the nail on the head. If that's not given, I think Celtic would probably complain, but I don't think the noise would be as much, because you would understand it, because it comes off the teammate.
Yeah, so you said raising the bar, which for me is close proximity. Mm-hmm. Which is one that Simon never mentioned, was if it's going in the back of the net, and the third one was, I've already forgot it, it was if it deflects off a teammate. It doesn't cover all three of them for me. It does cover all three of them for me. It's half a yard away, it's deflected off a teammate's foot half a yard away, and it's not going in the goal, okay? And then also, I already know you do your VAR review show with Wallycombe. I don't know how long your time slot is, but trust me, it's going to need extended for the next one. So in terms of the word subjective that he keeps using, if you've done a poll with football players, right, take Scotland out the way, and you might have a biased opinion, and they said, do they think that should be a penalty?
They would
what
say
do
no.
you think the poll? What do you think the poll results would be? I think it's an abysmal decision. I think it's really, really poor. I can't understand how that's deemed a penalty kick. And you know, people will tell me it's an unnatural position for Lewis Mayo. Number one, I'd argue it's not. I'd argue also it's not out with his silhouette. But I tell you what, I'm saying if it's 2-3 yards away from his body, then I can understand.
Because I don't disagree with you, I've got no problem if they're never a penalty, but I don't think we need to say his arm isn't out. I mean, it is.
It's out, but it's tucked in. My point is, it's not outstretched from his body. But my point being, it's even if it's here and the ball gets hit for 2-3 yards away and it's going in the goal, then I think it should be a penalty kick. It's stopping a goal. But the fact of the matter is, it's deflected from the ground a yard away. I think it's mental, honestly.
Simon, anything else to add?
Yeah, I completely agree with the guys. I think mental is the perfect word to describe it. I saw Mike Dean even getting involved and saying it was a disgrace. So I think he said this is an absolute disgrace, he said on Instagram. I think it's and obviously that's the subjective, and it's just people's opinion. Like Bobby Madden said, it wasn't a penalty then. I think like Andy mentions, you poll 100 footballers, I would say 99 of them would say that's not a penalty. But I think one thing I'd like to point out is how well I thought Kilmarnock played. I think a lot is made about Celtic's injury crisis, or if you want to call it that. You know, they had some players out, and that's fair enough, but they've also got the most money and the biggest squad in the league. We were missing Ben Brannan, who's been our best player, our player of the month at Kilmarnock. Jamie Brandon, who's had a fantastic start to the season at right-back, so that's our first two choices at right-back, because if Brandon's not there, then, you know, Ben Brannan probably goes to right-back. We were missing then our backup left-back at Dom Thompson, who I thought was excellent. You know, we're missing our captain, Brad Lyons, who for those kind of games, you know, he's the player you want. He dictates the tempo. He gets everything going in the midfield. And that's before you even start talking about like Mike Kennedy, who's our most creative player, and Scott Tiffany, who's probably our quickest player. When these kind of games, you know, you need that kind of creativity and that pace. So I think Kilmarnock set up really well. I have to just admit, I'm absolutely madly in love with big Marcus Dacos. I think he's absolutely outstanding. You know, he's one of those players where he's either going to pull the ball out of the air, beat three men and put a great cross ball across goal, or the ball's going to bounce 40 yards off him, and absolutely love that. You know, it's a bit of chaos factor, it's brilliant. I think he is looking like a really good acquisition, a good find. I can't believe how apparently bad he was last season for Morecambe, but that's, you know, he's an excellent player. I think we're slowly putting building blocks in place. I think the game on Friday against St Mirren in the Cup, goodness knows why it's not on television, because for me, outside the Rangers, Hibs game, which for you know headlines is probably the biggest game, but for me that St Mirren Killer game is so fascinating. seen this Kelly team going up against a, you know, a really, really good and strong St Mirren side. But yeah, I'm proud of how we played. I think David Watson was the best player in the park. It's amazing seeing him get back to his natural self. He was maybe a bit more restrained yesterday. He's been playing kind of higher up as in the three in midfield. He's been playing as the more advanced one, which I think suits him because his timing of the runs is great. But proud of how we played, and if we continue to play the way we have throughout the start of the season, I have no doubts, you know, the results will come. And I'm very, very, I'm starting to, you know, turn on Stuart Kettlewell. He's saying a lot of the right things. He's setting the team up a lot well. There's still some things, some mistakes he's made and some errors, and that's going to happen at any level. But yeah, I feel like he's starting to prove a lot of the Kelly fans, including myself, wrong. And yeah, long may it continue.
Good man, Simon. Thank you very much. It takes us perfectly up to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Will it be David Friel's debut on Beat the Pundit? Can you imagine the pressure? Talk about the anxiety inside Ibrox. The anxiety in this studio will be through the roof. Would you be game for that?
I would be game for it, but I just hope I'm not starting in Roger Hannah's -1 or -2.
No.
Or
no.
That.
No,
I'm due again, by the way.
You have to earn that, right? 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday is here. He's alongside David Friel from the Scottish Sun, and it's 01419511025 if you want to join in. You can tweet as well at Clyde SSB. There is so much going on. Rangers, again, how many Mondays is this in a row?
125. I think it was March the last time I came in when they won.
So, yeah, look, ongoing situation there. I didn't expect it to have moved on since this morning, and I really didn't expect a swimming trip to Loch Lomond and a hill walk up Connick Hill to be the thing that moved it on. But listen, Scottish football always finds new ways of surprising you. So if you want to add your thoughts there, this is when we should get Mark Wilson back. He was the keenest hill walker in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard team. But I don't know if we're that desperate yet. Celtic fans, Kilmarnock fans, what did you make of Rugby Park yesterday? We got stuck into the handball debate, if you can call it that, before the news. We can do more of it if you so wish, and loads more to get through, but we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Kyle in Bayliston is going to play Beat the Pundit tonight. How are you, Kyle?
Yeah, not bad, yourself.
Kyle, it says here you're an Aberdeen fan, is that correct?
Yes.
What on earth is going on?
Your guess is good as mine.
I mean, the high of winning the Scottish Cup, and nothing can ever change it and take it away. I'm sure it was brilliant, but did you envisage this start to the season off the back of that?
Oh, not at all. Well, especially the fact that we haven't even scored a goal in the league yet. That's the worrying part. And also there's some questions, but don't know yet.
Worrying is one word for it. Well, listen, we'll maybe get your thoughts more on Aberdeen in a second. We'll play Beat the Pundit first. Interesting this, because Andy Halliday, one of the heavyweights, if you like, have Beat the Pundit, but he's only played how many this season?
Just once.
Once. And David Friel, who's in place of his colleague from the Scottish Sun, Roger Hanna, has never played, so there could be some beginner's nerves. Now that you hear that music, the palms sweating a wee bit.
I can feel the nerves kicking in.
Yeah, I would have thought so. If it's the blue side of the coin, it will be Andy Halliday. If it's the red side, it will be David Friel.
No, man!
Also, this blows away Ross McCormick's theory. He says he can tell, apparently, which side the coin's going to land on based on where it starts. But I've just disproven it.
Short for a game? Yeah. Can I get a game in the weekend? I want one on Monday.
I was not going to make that joke, but anyway. Right, well, listen, Kyle, beginner's luck for David Friel, maybe, or first-time nerves. What we'll do is give him something else to listen to. You, Kyle, have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep, all good.
Right, 30 seconds, going on the clock, and your time starts now. Which surname is shared by two of the Premiership scorers at the weekend?
Pass.
Who's the only unbeaten side in the Championship?
St Johnstone.
Name any player sent off in the Premiership at the weekend?
Pass.
Which former Hamilton manager is a coach at West Ham?
Pass.
In what minute did the Celtic supporters come in yesterday?
12.
Alphabetically, which Premiership team comes last?
St Mirren.
True or false, Andy Robertson is the highest ranked Scottish player in FC26. Who wrote these questions?
False.
Okay, let's bring him back. You ready?
Kill for Cats.
What was the big?
There's a question in here that's a game's gone moment for me on Beat the Pundit. It's a game's gone.
Is it tough, Andy?
I can't hear.
He didn't hear that. He kept the music on. You ready? Don't get nervous now. Pass if you don't know the answer. Mm-hmm. Ready? 30 seconds for David Friel's Beat the Pundit debut starts now. Which surname is shared by two of the scorers in the Premiership at the weekend?
Pass.
Who's the only unbeaten side in the Championship?
St Johnson.
Name any player sent off in the Premiership at the weekend?
Vico Sivelj.
Which former Hamilton manager is a coach at West Ham?
Billy Reid.
In what minute did the Celtic supporters walk in yesterday?
12.
Alphabetically, which Scottish Premiership team comes last?
Pass.
True or false, Andy Robertson is the highest ranked Scottish player in FC26? Game's gone. That was the game's gone.
I have no idea what FC26 is, and I'm going to say false.
Okay. Kyle, how do you think it went?
I've done the best, but I don't know.
Let's find out. Okay. Which surname is shared by two of the scorers?
Graham.
Luke Graham.
Brian
Graham.
Luke. Where I'll give you both sympathy, I think under the gun of the time pressure, I think
I think I'd have passed that. I wasn't going to think about five or six seconds.
It's hard that, I think, in time pressure. So 0-0. You both knew that St Johnstone were the only unbeaten side in the Championship, so it is 1-1. The players sent off in the Premiership at the weekend: Vichko Savey of Dundee United and Jan Danda against Andy's Motherwell for Dundee. Just in case we don't get to them, what are we thinking? They've both been appealed, actually.
You know what I think already with these tackles?
The problem is you don't think any tackles are red, even when it's against
you. I
don't
think that's a red card.
Even when it catches him in the shin with the studs?
I think there's honestly near enough zero force on the tackle. It's that it's not a lunge, he's not coming for 10 yards away. I think that is so harsh.
In 2025,
level of the height,
2025, it's probably a red card. Well, listen, Gordon, but not for me.
You can give me an argument that based on the law, it should be. It should never be an
That's kind of the important bit, isn't it?
I'm not offended by the referee making that decision. I just hate the fact that's a red card.
Dundee United one handball. Well, first of all,
it's not a straight red, that's for sure.
Is that a penalty?
It's a penalty, but it's not a straight red card. Right. It's a ridiculous decision.
Is it going in the goal 100%?
Because he was also on a booking, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So you could just actually give him a yellow and then
it comes to the same outcome.
Sent off. Anyway. Right, if you want to argue about those, you can do. David Friel is 2-1 in front. Billy Reid is a coach at West Ham, so it's 3-1 David Friel. However, Kyle, you were still hanging in there. You knew that the Celtic supporters came in the 12th minute, but so did David Friel, so he stays a couple in front. Alphabetically, St Mirren come last. I'm disappointed in you at that one, I must admit. A journalist, for goodness sake, doesn't know the alphabet. Kyle got it, pulls one back. True or false, Andy Robertson is the highest ranked Scottish player in FC26.
What did Kyle say?
This is FIFA in modern money, isn't it? He said the same as David Friel. He said false.
I think it's true.
It is true.
What is it?
John McGinn second, Kieran Tierney third, Callum McGregor.
That's McTominay.
And that's what I was thinking. Scott McTominay.
Whoa, hold on.
If my source will be producer Jay, because he's the only one in there that's into that sort of thing, I would imagine. If this is true, can the owners of FC26 have
got something. McTominay's not in the top five.
He's sixth. That can't be right. Cannot be right. Seriously. The Ballon d'Or nominee.
Put the year and see that last year.
Surely not. Can it be? Seriously. I'm outraged at that, and I don't even know really what it is or care. But anyway, it wasn't enough to get you the win, Kyle. It was David Friel. Relief.
A bit of relief. Beginner's luck.
Way off the shoulders. Yeah. What was it, a 4-3? It was pretty tight.
Tight.
They do. They
scrappy win, they all count, Gordon.
Kyle, do you have faith in Yimmy Tillene turning this round?
I'm not sure at this rate, to be honest. The Scottish Cup definitely saved them, because it's five wins for the last, it's like 30-something.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's terrible. Like, compared to other managers we've had, that is a terrible record. It has to turn it around soon enough.
I think that's fair. I like that from Kyle, because we don't ever do this in football, especially in this country. See, we just say, I don't know. People just always usually pick one extreme or the other. To have scored no goals in the Premiership, I mean, to a point like they played Celtic, they played Hearts.
I would be worried.
Yeah.
I would be very worried. And I get that. We were speaking about it earlier, Gordon, that some Aberdeen fans think there was a bit of, you know, a bit more progress, a bit more to be optimistic about at the weekend, but
I just look at Jimmy Tilleen, I just look at this record that's going on and on and on. It always seems to me that Aberdeen under him, it'll get better tomorrow, it'll get better next game, and it never really seems to happen. And I just think that come the weekend against Motherwell, such a huge game.
Can't no say, comment. Don't say a word.
The worst of it is as well, this will be the cup. He'll get pitched in for the first time. It'll be his first minutes of the season. Did you not get sent off against Aberdeen?
No. When it was at Hearts?
Yeah. I just had something in my head about that. Anyway, listen.
That was a poor decision as well.
It was a poor decision. Terrible decision.
I think every decision's poor. Right. Without even considering risking Motherwell's chances at the weekend, what did you make of it at the weekend and where Aberdeen are? Because must admit, so I only watched the highlights, obviously, and I felt like, I thought just purely based on the highlights, move all your biases to one side, I thought they looked all right, and I thought they created enough, and I thought, so very little of Livy in an attacking sense, so quite a bit of Aberdeen, naturally they couldn't score. But you then read or listen to people who were at the whole game, and it was very critical of Aberdeen, so who am I to disagree?
Yeah, pretty similar to you. I thought for the highlights, they looked a lot more creative than they've been in recent weeks. I do think the deadline day acquisitions are Stuart Armstrong, Kevin Nisbet and Jesper Karlsson, who I thought was extremely impressive at the weekend. I think they'll fit really well into the Aberdeen team. I actually watched the full game against Falkirk, where I thought they played well in the first half, but once they went down to 10 men, I thought they really struggled to create. But I ain't saying any more than that, given we've got a double header coming out over the next 2 weeks.
What does it mean, David Friel? We so quickly ask now if managers are under pressure now. How can you not be under pressure if you've not scored a goal? But what does that mean? It, like, is he seriously a job risking pressure?
I think the Scottish Cup,
they kind of believe in the project as
well.
Yeah,
they believe in the project. They've backed him, and I think the Scottish Cup probably protects him in the short term. But I just wonder what the tipping point is for Aberdeen, because I don't think, I know there's been a lot of upheaval, I know a lot of change, but I don't think to be in the position they are after four games without a goal scored is acceptable. But I think you need to also look back at last season and how it, just this run that they're on, that Jimmy Tilleen at some point does have to start delivering results in the league. And he actually mentioned that after the game, that yeah, the cup's a huge game for them, but you know, it's getting a consistent run in the league, and so far he's not been able to do that apart from that first couple of months of the season.
There we go. Thank you to Kyle, Aberdeen fan, giving us his thoughts on his team and playing Beat the Pundit as well. I stand corrected. It wasn't producer Jay, it was producer John who wrote the FIFA question, which just surprises me because he's in his 40s with two kids, so I don't know how he's got time to play the PlayStation. But there we go. I'm looking at the list. How can this be? How can Scott McTominay be so far down?
So that's true. He's sitting on the list.
He's miles off.
Who was the five ahead of him?
Lewis Ferguson, Callum McGregor, Kieran Tierney, Andy Robertson and John McGinn.
The reason I said false, because I thought Scott McTominay would be number one. Has to be.
Unbelievable. Anyway, let's move on before we worry too much about virtual football. We've got enough about the real deal to keep us occupied. John Paul's on the line. How are you, John Paul?
Evening, Gordon, Andy, David. Good lineup on the show tonight. I'm really enjoying it. Obviously, I was reading with Andy a lot tonight. I seem to do that pretty often now when I listen to him on the radio. I think he's a great pundit. But the two points I want to make is about the officials in Scotland. The officials in Scotland are getting things wrong week in, week out, and it's not just they're getting them wrong, it's very, very inconsistent. You know, I think I'm fair when I'm on the show, and I only watch sports, you know, obviously to see all the other games, but I watched the Celtic game yesterday, and I would love to come on and sit here and say after the break that we're playing better football, but it was so boring. It was side to side, it was pass to pass. I can remember watching Celtic, and we used to pepper the goal, and people was making saves. There was none of that yesterday. The new boy did look good. They looked, I mean, they made a draw. He can go inside, he can go outside. He was trying to make things happen. But going back to the officials, obviously with the penalty we got awarded yesterday, it was absolutely baffling. I couldn't actually believe it when I was watching it on the TV. I thought, I never ever think this, and when a referee gets asked to go and make a decision on the monitor, I think he's going to stick or make the decision everybody thinks he's going to make. I genuinely thought he was going to stick by it and say, no, that's not a penalty. And that's what I think it should have been. That's my first point. I just didn't know.
It's always just nice to know that it's not always along team lines. John Paul's a Celtic fan, doesn't think it should have been a penalty. The only thing that you would say, Andy, you wonder if this might be a sort of, Hugh likes the phrase watershed moment. I don't know if it's quite that strong, but to let people into what was said at those briefings that Stuart Kettlewell referenced, the clip that they showed last season, I don't know if you remember, it was Ross County at Dens Park.
Yeah,
I do. And it was a ball headed, and the player didn't know much about it, and he was facing the other way, and his hand was up, and it was at Portales. Anyway,
I can't quite remember.
I think it was Portales. Like,
yeah. So quick story if I can. So penalty was given, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I remember in the presentation, Willie Collum said that that handball, because his hand was near, is basically would be supported in any league anywhere. Like UEFA would be happy with it. You know, fine. In the rules, that's a penalty. But what they did do over the summer was went round all the clubs, listened to all the clubs, and sort of accepted that nobody wanted that to be a penalty. And that was part of the reason they were going to change certain elements of the thought process going forward. So maybe that will happen with this one. You're never going to get everybody to agree, never going to get everything right. But I do think there is an appetite there to listen to you guys, to listen to... Because you'd have had that same briefing, I guess, yeah. the players at the start. I think there is an appetite to get some... It's just the problem is that it's happened this weekend, but I think there's an appetite to get to a situation where football understanding, that's what they always say. Mm-hmm. I think the weekend maybe fell short of that, but can it happen in the future?
Yeah, and again, I think it just takes everything into context, you know, proximity that they're big on now, deflecting off a teammate, is it going in the goal? And an element of common sense. I think all four. I don't think it ticks the box at any four. That's the reason I was really, really surprised that it was given as a penalty. I can't remember who the earlier caller was. I think it might have been Simon. Simon. I was frustrated with the first one with the throw-in. For me, you're making a rod for your own back. Do you then go back on every corner that's given?
It's not allowed.
Exactly. So that was just an unfortunate one that, to be honest, see, at the time of it, it looked like a Celtic throw into me. So I think that's just one of the genuine mistakes that are going to happen. But I'm really, really surprised that John Beaton's went to the monitor and not stuck by his original decision. What I thought was really interesting with your last VAR review show with Willie Collum, when he was talked about the penalty decision at Easter Road, he talked about the referee's position. He talked about ever so slight, if he was there two yards to the left, he'd have had a better angle. John Beaton had a perfect angle for that. So I can only imagine that he's described exactly what he saw. So I don't know where the clear and obvious errors came in for his comms to VAR that's been able for him to be sent over at the monitor. But I was really, really surprised he never stuck by his decision.
You can sometimes track the kind of thought process, maybe, David. And by the way, I genuinely don't know this. This isn't said from any position of knowledge, just a theory. Or something worth noting. From the first VAR review that we did, the only kind of real error, if you like, a real mistake that was flagged was that Hibs St Mirren one. And there was a lot of talk about that body position. If your hands are here, it's like a saving motion, I think was what Willie Collum said. And you just kind of have to give that, even if it is quite close proximity. Because bear in mind, that hit his chest first. Mm-hmm. It hit the St Mirren player's chest first. And the message that day was, just because it hits your chest doesn't mean it's not a penalty. I think, again, that's my theory, the body position looks quite similar at the weekend. So you wonder if that decision and everybody saying that was so wrong feeds this one. However, I accept it was a deflection off a teammate, so I know it's different, but I'm talking about that last bit of it. Maybe that's how that's where the mindset's gone.
Yeah, it probably does, because it's probably fresh in John Beaton's mind when he sees it and Matthew McDermott on VAR, but that doesn't mean to say it's right. And I always think when you get this domino effect of... you get one decision that's deemed to be wrong and then you can almost correct yourself. Yeah. Where I'll go back to it, I don't think you'd be getting lots of calls tonight if Celtic hadn't got that penalty.
That's kind of the bit that I can't shake either. And in terms of if that's what we're talking about, a football expectation or whatever. And what I would say is I don't expect this to change anybody's mind. It's not designed to. Please don't take it that way. But I thought it is still quite interesting where John Beaton, who, I don't say what you want or whatever, but you know, one of our most experienced officials and they'll know the rules, they'll know the guidelines, had very little doubt about it. Very, very little. As soon as it was seen at the monitor, you know, so I don't think it's like, Andy and I were arguing about this in the kind of office earlier along the lines of, I think people feel really strongly about it because they feel it's harsh, it involves one of the big teams, it comes late in the game, it's game altering. But I think there's every chance John Beaton's sitting tonight saying, what are you all on about? Like, I got that right. Do you know what I mean? I don't think this goes down as like one of those official howlers where there's like an apology or... But that, do you see what I mean by that?
But I need an understanding or I need an explanation of why you would feel he'd got that right.
Well, what I'm saying to you is, and I'm you can look how convinced he is, obviously. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, we see VAR reviews all the time where they either stick by the decision or change their opinion, and Willie Colm says in the VAR review that they've got it wrong. Hibs being the perfect example with the St Mirren penalty kick. So again, I mean, given his decision on that period in time, they might change his mind.
What I mean is, that's the beauty of it. See, if you listen to that, you can tell that I think that's the other side of it. They're going back, they're forward, nobody really quite knows. You can tell there's an indecision in that one. It just felt like the time at the monitor, it was like, it looked in John Beaton's mind like a no-brainer. That's all I'm trying to say.
I think it's probably going to be one of these unique ones, Gordon, where I think, judging by tonight, nobody really thinks it was apparently. But I think when it comes to Willie Colm's VAR review show, I don't think, as Andy said, I don't think Shortcut will be getting an apology this morning. I don't think Willie will probably say John Beaton got that wrong. I think the SFA clearly put a statement out. They're quite happy with the award, the wider public.
How long is your time slot in Sky?
Well, here's the thing, right? I wouldn't want to speak out of turn. I don't know how these things work, but it's now a programme on Sky. I don't know if there's room to make it longer.
They have to.
Don't shoot the messenger.
One weekend to fit in an hour.
Don't shoot the messenger. It's not even an hour either. But anyway, just a quick point on the actual football, which would be nice. It's 25 past seven. We nearly made it. Were Celtic as bad as John Paul makes out yesterday?
I don't think they were as bad. I just never really felt they get into a stride, Gordon. Maybe it's the pitch. I still don't think the balance in midfield for Celtic's right with Negrin, Hatate and Callum McGee. I don't know what Andy thinks about that. I just, you know, there's a lot of slack passes in there as well. I think Michel Ange Balakwisha, we are the world champions at writing players off early, but he has to do more than he's shown against Rangers and Kilmarnock yesterday. The real bright spark was Sebastian Tenekte. I thought it was as good a debut as I've seen in a long time. Once he got into his rhythm, he absolutely tormented James Brown down there. A really, really promising debut for him. And Daizen Maeda as well. I thought he was back. I thought his work rate was a lot better yesterday. And I know there's a debate where he's a number nine, where he's better off a side, but great movement in the box.
It was number nine movement, wasn't
it? Exactly. It was great movement in the box, great diving header. Over the piece, Kelly competed well. Maybe Celtic did deserve to win the game, but obviously it came in those controversial circumstances.
Wonder if Celtic have made a rod for their own back a little bit, Andy, where towards the end of Ange Postecoglou, and then I think maybe one or two under Brendan Rodgers, they did go down to Kelly and blitz them. Mm-hmm. But over the piece, are you ever really going to go down there with the way Kelly set up, as good as they were and as disciplined as they were and on the pitch? Are you going to go down and really run over the top of them? I don't know. I feel like that takes a bit away from what Kilmarnock do.
Yeah, and I think they've actually got a really good record against Rangers and Celtic over the recent years, and Stuart Kettlewell as well. Yeah, you've got to say with his time at Motherwell, I think he's always came up well. And listen, it's never going to be an excuse for Celtic players or the Celtic manager, but when you talk about lack of tempo, lack of dynamism, I do think that the Astro can play its part within that. But also another part, I think, is, which for me hasn't really been spoken about a lot because Celtic are still winning, I think they miss Alistair Johnson a huge amount on that right hand side. We talk about athleticism, we talk about arriving in the box. Yeah, I think he finished joint top goal scorer, top assist last year in the league. And again, I've got to echo, I think Balakwisha started really, really slowly. I've never seen a winger turn down 1v1 opportunities so much. I thought exactly what we said against Rangers. I thought it was the exact same at Kilmarnock at the weekend. I think too passive in terms of getting the ball 1v1 situations, turning, passing it back. Now on the flip side, Tenekke, I thought a real refreshness in just being positive every time you get the ball, try and make an impact in the game. And another thing you talk about with Astro is sometimes it's difficult to turn and change your footing. How sharply he managed to go both ways and change direction was impressive.
Thank you, John Paul. It's a good time to call. We will get you on next. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Andy Halliday and David Friel are here. This is not the Steward's Inquiry I needed. This is why we should play it safe, right? Think of us as a football team, a number six, if you like. Get the ball, keep it simple, just pass side to side, keep it moving, keep it simple. Because the amount of people now messaging me to say, I think you'll find Scott McTominay is the highest rated Scottish player, whatever, right? I'm sorry, I apologise wholeheartedly.
5-4 then?
I'm sure he is. Nah, you both got the point. Luckily, you both said the same thing. We'd have to do
that. Would have been the latest callback ever, wouldn't it?
Oh, honestly. Producer John says sorry. That's great. Brilliant. That's that sorted.
Some sorries this year, John.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, right. Let's quickly give you your teaser. I'll just leave it with you and then I'll bring a caller in. So, let's see. Can you name the 10 oldest goal scorers to score in the Scottish Premiership in the last 10 seasons? So the 10 oldest goal scorers in the Scottish Premiership in the last 10 seasons.
Oh, I know what that did. Or should ever.
Tough this, you know.
A couple of them. Very. I wrote down the worst of all time as
what
well.
What did you write down?
I wrote down Davy Weir. He had a time about 2000.
So he left his role at the
he did.
At Brighton.
Tell you what.
Wait, tell me what. Go on, tell me what. Was that a Brendan Rodgers wink on the list?
No, but in all seriousness, he must have plenty of suitors out there with how that club's run at Brighton.
Have you learned nothing? Seriously, Halliday says Thelwell must go, Davy Weir must be brought in to replace him. Listen, you see what David feels
right now in his shorthand.
Like, I'll leave that question with you.
By the way, that's tough. I'll give you
what was your question? The top 10 oldest scorers in the last 10 seasons.
Does Brian Graham?
Yes, okay. Let's leave it there. I want to bring in David and Cumbernauld. Take it away, David.
Even lads, I've got two wee points, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
First point is, I've seen the Rangers players were getting taken to Loch Lomond, and it just strikes me as very, very, very strange. It seems as if it's coming for like an old HR thing. Like they'll be doing trust falls and the thing with the parachute and the ball. You know what I mean? It's very apt that he's took over to Loch Lomond since he's the one that's treading water.
Oh, David's been working it. He's been practicing that in front of the mirror since six. I know it's got that kind of team bonding vibe about it. I don't know about the parachute and the ball. That took me back. That transported me a little bit. And when I say transported me, I mean back to like toddler sense last week when I was there with my kids. But I kind of knew that this would happen, Andy. This is it harmless? Is it not? Is it optics, as David said earlier?
I honestly find it so hard to give a real opinion on it because I can see both sides. I don't know what Russell Martin could do this Monday, given he's probably done the same thing over the last 8-9 Mondays when they've had a poor result at the weekend. But like I said, I was surprised to see the pictures earlier on today. Certainly wasn't expecting it. But like I said, whatever happened to just a good old-fashioned night out? Where's good on a Monday in Glasgow?
I'll bring it together. Again, David, I think if we can be semi-sincere about it for a minute, I don't think any of us should lash out at Russell Martin for taking the players swimming or whatever, right? Okay, even that does sound stupid, right? It wasn't just swimming. It wasn't like the newly
David Lloyd,
the newly revamped time capsule, right? It wasn't that. What maybe though, if we're going to be really sincere about it, is it does show his belief in the opinions that he expressed at the weekend that this is mental. It's psychological. I don't mean mental in that way. It's psychological. It's about, because I'm sure when I did the interview for Sky, which would have been different from the press conference, and I said, how do you break this cycle because of the anxiety? And he said something along the lines of, it's about, you know, making young men, he kept, you know, referring to how young, making young men believe that, you know, it's not all on them, it's on me. So it does all kind of add up to someone who really does believe that this is psychological rather than tactical at the moment.
Yeah, and he's been clear on that, and it brings you back to recruitment. But I suppose if you're a manager, you are trying to find ways to get inside your players' heads, to get your team a bit more together, so that when they are having a hard time on the pitch, as Rangers were the other day, that there's a better team spirit, a better team togetherness. But Gordon, you can go at the time caps, you can go wild water swimming. The best way to build team spirit is by winning games. And until Rangers start doing that, you can do all the gimmicks, all the sort of away day stuff you want, it just won't wash until you start winning games.
Wash, was that a pun?
That was a pun.
Was it
right? I've got a million.
Great. David, the other David on the line, you're for Cumbernauld as well, exactly. You know? My goodness, I'm getting confused here. David and Cumbernauld on the line. So what is the deal here? If Rangers had won their last five games and they went to Loch Lomond, would that be okay?
I think it's just a streak of almost desperation about it. That's what it seems. It seems as if I've tried all this stuff. The only other thing I can do is do something really random to try and get them out their heads. That's what it seems like to me. And the second point is, I think before the Hibs game, Aberdeen and Dundee are playing. If those both teams both win those games, Rangers will be sitting bottom of the league after spending £30 million.
Yeah, I've seen that stat or that fact doing the rounds, Andy. Like the way Aberdeen and Dundee are, it possibly, probably won't happen, but it's quite crazy to think that Rangers could technically be bottom by the time they kick off a Premiership game again.
It's extremely alarming. And to be honest, it's another one, an unwanted record that I've seen over the last few days. You know, Hearts' first win at Ibrox since 2014. You know, I remember being on the show after the Queen's Park game, and the amount of times people said it's Rangers' worst ever result, it can't get worse than this. Rangers have won 5 games at Ibrox since then. It's been 16 games at Ibrox. Rangers have won 5 of them. I mean, it's remarkable. And see, the fact of the matter is, Gordon, you're now going into the game against Hibs at the weekend. See, right now, could you really say with a lot of confidence that you think Rangers will beat Hibs at home? I think that's, I mean, that's a sad indictment in itself.
Because I think the other thing, look, I do genuinely have sympathy for Russell Martin in the sense that now he can't do right for doing wrong, David, as we've spoken about. You know, we're seeing that with the Loch Lomond stuff here. Obviously, every word seems to be getting disagreed with, but I think he did repeat at the weekend that line about it can't get any worse than this. But unfortunately, he said that after the Bruges game.
Yeah.
So that's where it is very, very difficult to then for people not to notice that.
Statements like that just don't stack up, you know. Because as you said, it did get worse, and how do you know it's not going to get worse? As I said, the talking, the Rangers fans now, they don't want to hear the excuses, they don't want to hear the sound bites like that, it can't get any worse than this. They probably don't want to see the away day stuff like Loch Lomond. They just want to see wins from their team, and they also don't care about the whole training thing, and the team turns up on a Thursday or a Friday. Russell Martin, Gordon, it seems so obvious, but he just has to start winning games, and starting on Saturday night against Hibs.
Thank you, David. Great Loch Lomond pun. Well done to you. James is on the other line. James, do you care much about Connachill or Loch Lomond? Does that bother you?
I wouldn't say it bothers me, Gordon. I think Andy Halliday said earlier on, it seems a bit gimmicky. It seems a bit like an office away day. It just seems a bit odd, to be quite honest with you. It doesn't bother me as such. It just seems a little bit odd. I think, as the guys were saying earlier in the programme, the only way of getting improved performances is to go on that training pitch, perform the best you can during the week, as I know Russell Martin's saying, but it's not transpiring onto the performances when it really matters in the league rooms. I've seen to your producer there that we're only at the middle of September. Any optimism, I was on the programme just at the beginning of the season, and any optimism that was there at the beginning of the new season, as there should be for a fan of any club, has completely evaporated. And he set himself up for a fall here because, in my opinion, he came out before the season started and said, we're going to play dominating, attack-minded, high-press football, and we're not doing any of that at all. And as much as we've got a big turnaround in playing staff, so have other teams. Look at Dundee, for example. We scraped a draw at home against Dundee, who've also got a new manager, who lost a number of players on loan, who lost also their best players, arguably in Mulligan, Cameron, and Simon Murray was also injured that day as well. That doesn't really wash with me. You're bringing players into Rangers or Celtic or clubs of that stature around the world, you know the pressure that comes with it, and they're not performing. There doesn't seem to be any idea. You can lose games of football, but you can see what the team's trying to do, and I could accept that because it's a big ask turning round Rangers the way they've been, but you can't even see any positivity at all.
That is Andy, the thing about new players. Claudio Braga, all we need is a new player, and he was excellent for Hearts. Kizaridis is brand new, he was excellent. Ocean McEntee played out of position, made Mikey Moore have a really, really tough afternoon to the point where he had to go off at half time. So you can, loads of teams have a big turnover in Scotland. So it's another thing that the fans just can't fully accept. They'll get it to a bit, you know, there'll be a bit of patience, but not this much.
Yeah, listen, especially not now, especially when he mentioned that they've only been 6 weeks in the building, then it was only 8 weeks in the building, then we've had a lot of games in a period of time, then we need new players in, we need players out, and then the latest one was, I can't wait for the transfer window to end. Now the transfer window's ended, and the first result they got was 2-0 defeat against Hearts. So I just don't think, listen, I think he's in a very difficult position because I don't think there's anything he can say that's going to appease the fans, but there's certain things that I don't think you're going to get away with more than others. And I think a couple of the comments that he made at the weekend, I don't think's rubbed Rangers fans up the right way, shall I say.
And the thing is, this is the unforgiving nature of Glasgow, David, about the Loch Lomond thing. You could easily, if it was a team bonding thing behind closed doors, no one would be any the wiser. But you choose to sort of do that quite very publicly. there was always going to be a bit of a I don't know if backlash is the right word, because again, maybe I think we probably are over exaggerating, but you know what I mean.
It's just everything's scrutinised. Everything's scrutinised now with Rangers just because of the results and everything. But just to touch on what James was saying about the style, I think to me that's one of the things that really, really damages Russell Martin, because when he first came in, when the Rangers announced it, a big part of the reason for giving him the job was a style of play, an identity, a DNA, and how Rangers are going to play, and this passing out from the back and free-flowing football. And look, we're now in mid-September and nobody's seen it, barring 60 minutes against Pilsen.
Make the obvious comparison. Motherwell have not had the results yet. They've drawn every single game, Andy, but it is abundantly clear what the new style of play is. It is abundantly clear what the tactics are and what the manager wants. And even although it hasn't translated into results, it's actually quite good fun. It's really good to watch.
And although, like you says, although the results haven't been there, I think every performance for at least 50, 60 minutes of the game has been excellent at times. So again, I think, like you said, the paying customers, the fans that are going to watch the game, they have something to grasp on. They can see the product that's there. The only thing that needs to come next is wins, which, listen, it's the most important thing in football, I get that. But they can see what the club's trying to do. They can see the progression. And that's why I reference all the time with Rangers. It's not just a barrage of pressure for 89 minutes, the other teams went up, nicked a set piece and scored a goal. It's not been that. Not one of them's been that. I think actually every single game you can say that the other team have deserved what they've got, whether it's been a draw or a win.
Thank you to James. Just on that, what's the feeling? Because you can't keep drawing games forever at Motherwell, and it was another certainly good first half performance. But you know, maybe that's one of the first kind of fixtures where there would be a slight expectation, I think, from the Mull fans that you do turn it into a win. Dundee have been struggling. Yeah. There's been a couple of, you know, Kilmarnock at home, the types of fixtures that you might look to for 3 points. How do you look back on that one at the weekend?
Yeah, again, pretty similar to how I've described the last few weeks. I thought the first half was as good as any, to be honest with you. We got a lot of plaudits for the performance at Tynecastle, and quite rightly so, given the opposition you were up against. But I thought the first half against Dundee at the weekend was excellent, specifically between the 25th and 45th minute, because there was control for the full half. But I talk about it all the time when we're referencing other clubs. It's possession for a purpose. It's possession to create chances and score goals. Numerous chances in the last 20 minutes of the half, and to be honest, probably should have put the game potentially out of sight with a second or potentially even a third goal. But then credit to Dundee, they were a lot more aggressive in how they pressed us in the second half. We probably made a lot more unforced errors, which we've not done in the opening four games of the season, but I don't think there's any doubt that there's a huge disappointment we don't win the game.
Okay, what about your teaser? The 10 oldest goal scorers in the Premiership in the last 10 seasons. Brian Graham at the weekend.
Clint Hill.
Yes, well done. He was 38 when he scored.
Jermaine Defoe.
He was 38 also, yep.
Stevie McLean.
No. Oh yeah, sorry, yes, 37, well done.
Kenny Miller.
Yes, top of the list, 39 years and 4 months. We will get the rest of the answers and more calls if you fancy it when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
Do you think you're capable of predicting football matches better than our pundits? The answer to that has to be yes. Have you seen how bad Hugh Keevans is? So every Friday we ask you to guess the outcome of just 3 games. That is it. And you could win cash. Now on Friday, Kyle and Falkirk, he backed Celtic and Hearts to win, but his own team Falkirk let him down. It means he lost out in £400, which is good news for you, because another £100 goes into the hat, up to £500 this Friday, every Friday night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, thanks to McNair's Building Supplies. I'm going to bring in Jim in just a second. Quickly on your teaser tonight, we're looking for the 10 oldest goal scorers across the last 10 seasons. Kenny Miller, Jermaine Defoe, Clint Hill, Brian Graham, Stephen McLean.
Steve Davis.
Yes.
Andy Considine.
Nope.
Stephen A. Smith?
No.
Darren McGregor?
Now you're struggling.
Yep.
4 to get.
Nah, I'm struggling now.
Okay, yeah, a couple of them are very, very difficult, I would say. It's a couple of defenders in there, they tend to last a bit longer. But what I would say, the one who deserves a notable mention on the list, because he did it as a winger. Can't be many wingers playing and scoring at 37.
Chris Burke.
There we go. Right, couple to get. Let's bring in Jim. How are you, Jim?
too bad, yourself?
Good, thank you, Jim. You're a Dundee United fan, yes?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, that's nothing to be afraid about. Going well. Surely that's a game of the season contender already, is it not, the weekend?
I had the good fortune to be there, and you're spot on. It's probably the game of several seasons.
Definitely.
Aye, end to end. Pace didn't drop for the whole game. It was absolutely outstanding. But a red card for that? A straight red?
Yeah.
Come on now.
I noticed they've appealed it. I think you guys said earlier, just in case, Jim, you think that's harsh, a straight red?
A straight red?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even deliberate.
It's not even that we think it's harsh, we think it's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the wrong decision.
So now, because everything's been kind of scaled back in those situations now, so really red has
to be deliberate.
Yeah, like as in the ball is on the line and you just swat it away. You make a save, you know, deliberate like a goalie. So the only thing, Jim, is it could well be a yellow though, yeah?
Even then, that's harsh, is it? No, I mean, it's not a deliberate action.
No, I know, but that's the bit that could make it a yellow because it stops the ball going in potentially. So here's the difficulty,
going
David.
In potentially.
Well, again, I think if you're making that judgment call, what I'm saying is, I don't think it's unthinkable that it could be yellow. I don't think it's outrageous. I don't think that would be a big mistake. And if it's yellow, he's still sent off because it's two yellows versus the red.
It was a needless decision. Look, it's common sense. Give him a yellow card. He gets a second yellow card. It's a red card anyway. You give the penalty.
Because I'm not. On you.
Sorry. Taking off your tangerine specs, Jim, what did you think of the second goal? You think it was a foul on Savelge?
Well, you'd hope for it, wouldn't you?
Me and Gordon had a wee set too about
that
one. Did you?
You thought it was?
I think it is a foul, yeah.
Not for me or David
Field. Not for me.
I mean, he's just bundled through him. So I think if it's not a foul, he must have won the ball. So if he's won the ball, he's miles offside. So then you look at back, he's just bundled through it and he actually connects with the back of his calf before he gets through him. So I think that's enough to impede you and foul. Yeah, I think it's a foul.
No foul for me. I think it's good pressing. I think the Savelle's just gets caught on the ball. And also, what a finish it was from Kieran Bowie.
Should have got some game time for Scotland. Is that
what you're
going to tell
should me? Have, but two nice touches, great finish.
And the last one, struggling to keep up with them, Jim. Hibs felt they should have had another penalty. I'm not sure you'll agree with them, do you? Kieran Bowie at the end?
Absolutely not. I don't know, you know, there was fellas rolling about every five things with a Hibs jersey on, goodness sake. But no, definitely not, not at all.
Anything for you two? You've had some bad shouts tonight, so let's see what you can add to this one.
Well, I think any other Monday, I think. Oh, sorry, you talked about that decision. It's on. No.
Good, right. We've agreed on one finally.
But I thought any other weekend, Kucherenko's a certainty for your hour of the weekend.
That's a good point.
Was a
he's
lot
escaped.
I thought he actually does. I think as a part in all three goals. We were talking about the full one. Savelge, I think it's a terrible pass he gives him. Not only is it a straight pass, it's a bobbly pass that means he also
made some good saves, which is the life of a goalie, I guess.
Yeah, he showed good character. It did show good character, but he's punched the ball into his own net, and as Andy said, he gives Savelge that pass. Yeah, probably overlooked
a hill of the weekend. He actually pushes Savelge into the handball as well. He's actually got him sent off.
He's against the goalies. Jim, look, so I don't necessarily want to go over all ground about the number of Scots and all that. I thought that was probably blown out of proportion, but in more of a kind of footballing sense, do you think your team will maybe surprise some people this season? I think there was probably a feeling there of outsiders that, you know, came up, had a really good season, would struggle to repeat that, but showing absolutely no signs of dropping off yet.
No, I would certainly agree with you on that, and I think most of the fans were of that same opinion. And then for to bring in so many new guys, that's awful worrying. That was what Goodwin had done at Aberdeen, and it all went wrong for him, so there was a big worry there, but they seem to have settled in. They seem to be better than we had. Kind of complain at that, you know.
Because another team, talking about Motherwell, a bit different, but so much expectation on Hibs at the moment, and rave reviews, and understand that in Europe was great, and I really enjoy watching them, but there'll be another one who, you know, will hope to kind of turn it into wins a bit more often, clearly, as well.
Yeah, and I thought it was a brave transfer window from Dundee United, to be honest with you, Gordon. There was a bit of, as you say, controversy as well, but Jim Goodwin thinks he can get better value. I think he's signed some really good players, and look, whether it's going to be enough to get top six again, I don't know, but a good manager, signed a new contract, and he knows his way around the transfer market.
Okay, thank you very much to Jim. That'll round things off. I'm glad we got a bit of a mention for the game of the weekend, clearly, and I know we have missed so much tonight, and certain topics haven't had the time they deserve. it's a thankless task, I think, with everything that's going on. But the good news is Clyde One Super Scoreboard goes nowhere, and we'll do it all again tomorrow. Let's round off the teaser. The 10 oldest scorers to score in the Premiership in the last 10 seasons: Kenny Miller, Defoe, Clint Hill, Brian Graham, Steve Davis, Chris Burk, Stephen McLean. None. Oh no.
Like a Christoph Behrer or something? No,
but a Scottish centre back, very much of that era. So probably played Scotland national team games, that kind of era. Kilmarnock.
Kilmarnock?
Gordon Greer?
Gordon Greer.
No way.
Yeah, I would never get that.
2015.
2017, he scored for Killian. Eh?
Wow.
Another big centre back, one you'll both know better Kirk than that. Another, a lot more familiar to the. He scored it for Dundee United. You'll know him better as playing for Celtic and Aberdeen. He's now a YouTuber on golf, I believe.
Oh, Charlie
McGrew. And the last one, no offence, because you're top at these teasers, but there is no chance you, tonight or any other night, an experienced striker who came to Hibs at the end of his career.
Hope.
Nope.
Oh, I'd have loved it if you said that and I got that.
Adam Lafondra,
the other one. Cool. Thank you very much. David Friel's debut on Clyde One Super Scoreboard went well. We'll maybe have him back. Depends how many holidays Roger Hanna has got booked. Andy Halliday, thanks as always. But the biggest thanks does go to you. Much appreciated. So many of you getting in touch. We're back tomorrow at 6, so enjoy the rest of your Monday.